Welcome to Adventures in Grace. This is Jim Hockaday, looking forward to the next few moments as we continue in John chapter 3, sharing with you what was so normal and natural to Jesus. And it can be just that normal and natural to us. Changing your perspective and embracing the way that Jesus related to the Father, that's actually you in action. And if you'll see yourself just like Jesus, as he did what he did on the earth, I'm telling you, there's nothing that can stop you from having the same type of testimonies. Why? Because interaction with the Father is all about answered prayer. It's all about that which comes from heaven, changing things that are down here on this earth so that we give evidence. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus made sure the disciples knew when he gave them the Great Commission. He told them, don't go anywhere until you receive the promise from heaven. Because when you do receive that promise, you'll become witnesses. Remember over Acts chapter 1, verse 8? Well, the word witness means an evidence producer. He wanted them to be so full of the Holy Ghost, who is the one who produces evidence, that they would have evidence constantly to the work that Jesus established when he was here, that the disciples are able to continue it in the same way that Jesus did. Even over there into the book of Acts, you'll find over in the third and fourth chapter that the things that the disciples did, and Jesus was now at the right hand of the Father, but the Pharisees and those that saw what they did, they said things like, we can tell that they've been with Jesus. Why? Because they looked just like him. They were acting just like them. They had the same spirit of faith like Jesus did. Well, we're looking forward to our time here as we get started. And of course, we always want to go to our scripture. I may be wearing you out with this, but I trust not, because every time I read it, I can tell you for sure that it blesses my heart and soul. Matthew 11, 27 to 30, in the Message Bible, Jesus resumed talking to the people, but now tenderly. The Father has given me all these things to do and say. This is a unique Father and Son operation coming out of Father and Son intimacies. No one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does. But I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting upon you. Keep company with me and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. Do you know, when you think about the walk that Jesus showed us for the 3.5 years of ministry, did anything Jesus do look difficult? Did he look like he was stressed out, worried, and concerned? You know, you don't see that at all. Yes, you do see times where Jesus was just literally taking a nap and was so sound asleep that there was a storm on the lake and it didn't even wake him up. They had to go and wake him up personally with their fear for the storm. So we can see Jesus gave out plenty. And he rested hard, he played hard, he preached hard, but he didn't worry, and he wasn't filled with anxiety and concern. Why? He walked in the grace of God. He lived out of a place in heaven. Oh, we're getting right back into now what we've been talking about and what we're looking at today. And so as we do, we can look back into verse 10 and verse 11, where Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. And of course, Jesus has to talk with him very pointedly, because Nicodemus is not getting the spiritual reality Jesus is trying to inform him of, that you must be born again from above. Do you know, one translation says you must be refathered from above. Thank God, when we accepted Christ as Savior, we received a new father from above, which means we came right out of, you could say it like this, we were womb mates with Jesus, came right out of the very heart of God. That's the reason why in the earth now we're filled with Christ, and Christ is in us, and we are in Christ. Amen. One spiritual being in the Lord, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Yes, we are one spiritual being with the Lord, verse 11. Well, as we go on here, we can see Jesus is endeavoring to get some thought across to Nicodemus. He says, listen carefully, I'm speaking sober truth to you. I speak only what I know by experience. I give witness only to what I have seen with my own eyes. There is nothing secondhand here, no hearsay. Okay, I give a lot of testimonies of Brother Hagin and some of my other friends, as well as I mix those testimonies in with what I've witnessed and what I've seen myself. But I'll tell you what, if there's a desire in my heart, and I can't help but appreciate Reverend Kenneth E. Hagin and the time that I spent with him, where I watched him in the evening time share one story after another, after another, after another in just one area. And he would even say himself, I could stand here and tell you story after story in just this one area until the sun came up in the morning and still not exhaust all of them. Well, that is my goal. I trust it to be yours as well, telling one story after another story after another story where you can't exhaust them all. Jesus just gets the glory for living in your life to such degree where you have testimony. Amen, amen. So as I shared last week, make sure that you get a hold of this particular thought again. And that is, it says, I speak only what I know by experience. So that's you. You speak and you believe in your heart that from this moment on, you'll experience God so much, you'll speak only what you witness by or what you know or experience. And then he goes on to say, and I give witness only to what I've seen with my own eyes. You believe that about yourself. From this point on, your relationship with God will so increase spiritually that you'll see things with your own eyes and you'll give witness to those things that you have seen. Where there's no hearsay, nothing secondhand. This comes directly from your experience with the Lord. He goes on to say, yet instead of facing the evidence and accepting it, you procrastinate with questions. Wow, that's a really awesome particular thought that Jesus gave him, which he's telling him, you don't listen well. You know, I think sometimes we don't listen well. We listen to information, but we don't listen to application. We don't sense within our spirit that what's being said about Jesus is the life that we personally are supposed to live and experience too. So we listen with itching ears, wanting to hear something that we've heard before. And when we hear something that's new, oh, we just love it. But again, we write notes, but we don't have experiences. Come on, we've got to change this. And you can change this right here, right now, by just adjusting the way that you're listening. You're listening in a manner to go out and have an experience with God today. Look at what he goes on to say. Yet instead of facing the evidence and accepting it, you procrastinate with questions. You know, it's interesting over here in Luke in chapter 8, verse 18, it says, therefore, take heed how you hear. And Mark chapter 4, verse 24, Jesus said, take heed what you hear. So be careful how you listen. Listen to the right content and listen with the right spirit or the right attitude or heart. Do you remember over there in Ephesians chapter 4 where Paul said, put off the old man, put on the new man, and be renewed in the attitude of your mind? In other words, the whole attitude about how you hear and what you hear will produce change in your life. Going on, Jesus then went ahead and said this, if I tell you things that are as plain as the hand before your face and you don't believe me. In other words, he related things about the wind. He related things about a little baby being born and knowing that that baby on the outside, you can see and touch and handle that baby, but there's something on the inside that is so much more precious, and that is the spirit that you can't see. He related to him things that he could understand of this earthly world so that he could get a hold of the truth spiritually. Jesus is telling him this. I tell you these things that are as plain as the hand before your face and you don't believe me. What use is there in telling you of things you can't see, the things of God? What is Jesus saying right there? Folks, I want you to get this because this pertains to you. This is the new you. This is the new me. Even if right now I don't have all the testimonies I want, this is the new me that I accept to be me. It's the identity of my life in him and him in me. So put this on as though it is you. And that is, notice what he's saying. I could tell you things straight from heaven itself, but it would literally freak you out. In other words, I'm relating things that are simple basics that come from heaven, but I'm sharing these things through earthly examples so that you can understand it and get a hold of it. I could just go right to the heart of telling you things from heaven's perspective, and you wouldn't get any of it. What is he trying to say? That we as believers can know things straight out of heaven. It's wonderful to be able to look at the scriptures and see individuals that they do the things that they do. They say the things that they say. We see the examples through scripture. We watch how Jesus healed people and how he talked to people and how his mannerisms were when confronted with religious people versus confronted with people that just had a desire and heart to be helped. All these things are very important, and they help us to put on the same attitude and the thought process to walk in the compassion of the Lord and put on love. But folks, I want you to know that we are supposed to experience heaven in such degree that we can see things and know things from that other world where it can come straight from heaven itself and doesn't even have to come through a Bible example. It can just come straight to your heart through your relationship with God. Hallelujah. Now, will it agree with Scripture? Well, of course it does. Amen. If it's from heaven, it will agree with Scripture. If it's not from heaven, it will not agree with Scripture. And you can tell right away, that was the pizza. So don't go giving that revelation. But I want you to open up your heart to the idea that there's more about you in your relationship with God than we've given ourselves credit. All of us can experience him firsthand. That's pretty awesome. Look at verse 13, and I'll probably try to stop with verse 13. It says, no one has ever gone up into the presence of God except the one who came down from that presence, the Son of Man. Well, I've got to tell it to you in the King James. No one has ascended, but he that hath first descended, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. No one hath ascended, but yet he that has first descended. So Jesus came in to the earth from the Father by the seed of the Holy Ghost through the Virgin Mary. He came from heaven down, but he ascended back up into heaven. And that is the Son of Man. Son of Man means what? He's relating to our humanity. And he says, who is in heaven? And if you can see what I'm seeing, then you're going to see that he seems to be able to go both ways, not only up, but also down. He can take something from here, from heaven, and relate it to something here on the earth. And yet while he's on the earth, he can still touch that which is in heaven. Can you see this? This is a super key to the ministry of Jesus. It simply means while he walked on the earth in his flesh body, he lived out of heaven with his spiritual connection to God. And the things that he experienced in his time in heaven, he made those things manifest or brought that evidence to the earth. And everybody that saw Jesus bringing what was just normal to God and to Jesus as they fellowshiped together said things like, we've never seen this before. No one speaks like this. The Message Bible said in Mark chapter 1, finally, somebody that does what they say, that evidence was brought, the healing of the sick, the casting out of the demon, the love that was spread abroad to one another, the lack of condemnation, and the bringing of salvation. All of these were new experiences to the earth that people were seeing through one man on a consistent basis. Now, again, I can take that statement and go back into the old covenant. We can see that there were healings that took place and there were relationships with God that took place. But when you see Jesus as the consummate example of someone living every single day in that presence and walking in that kind of superiority from the spiritual position of what's inside to God, all of a sudden, this now is the prototype to the brand new generation called those who are in Christ Jesus, new creatures in Christ. Amen. New species. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Any man that's in Christ is a new creation, a new creature, a brand new species, never have yet been. Different translations embellish on that to help us to see that God created once more by bringing Christ out of the dead and filling him with everything that was necessary in God, a complete and final union, where when man would accept Christ as Savior, the very Spirit of God would come to live within and change that man into a Christ man or woman, someone just like him. Wow, this is pretty awesome. Are you getting this, folks? There's a little bit more that we can go on here, but we're already, you know, running out of time. Time goes so quickly when you talk about these things, because it is the heart and soul of why we can embrace a brand new relationship with God and a new experience with Him. Folks, experiences can happen a little bit here and a little bit there, just, you know, because they happen. But if you want to actually experience Him regularly, then change the way you see yourself. Let some of these truths become so real to you and begin to practice the grace of God everywhere and the presence of God everywhere and God's willingness to touch your life everywhere. Embrace these things to be you, and you'll begin to see this take shape and form in your life. Well, I just want to say, you know, that it's amazing when you begin to walk in the grace of God, you'll begin to experience, I said that three times, you'll begin to experience health and strength in your body. And there's been just a couple of little tiny things. In fact, I've had my blood work done, and in my blood work, actually, it was really, really good. Everything was in a great area. There were a couple of areas that were on the lower side of good, but they weren't in any bad area. And so I take that to be really, really good. But everything is improving. I want to share this. The more that I spend with my focus on Jesus, this is a grace testimony, the more my physical body improves with strength, with vitality, with change to some of the little tiny areas that my body is changing in. Amen. Getting better and better and better all the time. And I'm going to keep this going in that direction so that I just continue to live in divine health instead of needing to be healed. I want to just encourage you with that if you'll get your mind off of your body and get your mind on Jesus, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. If you want to experience more of Him, then be absent to your body. In other words, stop thinking about your body and putting all the value and concern on what's going on in this flesh world. Put the value and concern of your life on what's going on in the spiritual world. Go to Jim Hockaday Ministry Facebook page and follow us, or you can go to Adventures in Grace YouTube channel and subscribe. We'd love for you to go to our website. We're getting a new website up probably within about 2 weeks. I may have said that about a week ago, so it's been just a little bit delayed, but it's very, very close to being up. You're going to love this new website. And of course, you can find our email, which is jhmi@jimhockaday.com. Please send us your grace stories, those little wonderful experiences where you know God is working in your life. If the little foxes spoil the vine, it's the little tiny things of life where God is involved that begins to repair your relationship, your confidence, and your ability to get prayers answered. Till next time, we'll see you again on Adventures in Grace.